activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space Podcast starts now.
It is Thursday, November 21st, 2013. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 71 from Waterloo, Iowa. I am Dave Nelson. With me, as always, is Mr. Paul Swickard from Glendale, California. And coming to us live from Denton, Texas, it's Miss Anessa Moyens. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a couple weeks. Been a couple weeks more time for you than it has been for me and Paul.
That's true. It has.
Because you were off 2 weeks ago. Well, about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago?
Week before last, I was supposed to work. And then work got canceled at the last minute because it was cloudy, such as Liz's life with astronomy.
How does that work? Like, that must be fun. Like, is that fun or frustrating? Like, hey, work, we can't do anything because it's cloudy.
Well, this was actually like an outreach thing. So we were going to go to, like, myself and a coworker. We were going to go to Flower Mound, which is a town not too far from here, maybe like a 20-minute drive. And they were having a science night sort of thing. And so they had a portable planetarium from the Perot Museum, and they had other people there, and they wanted telescopes set up. So we were going to take a couple of telescopes and set them up. And if people had questions with their own telescopes, they were welcome to bring them, and we were going to help them out. But we just looked at the weather, and we looked at the radar, and it was like 3/4 of the state of Texas was covered in clouds. And it was moving just over the DFW area for the next few hours. And so we called them up and we're like, look, here's a situation. It looks like it's going to be mostly cloudy. Like, what do you want to do? And they were like, well, we understand. Like, you guys don't have to come just because they're not really going to be able to see anything through the clouds. Mm-hmm. So, and rather than ending up with a line of people wanting to see stuff, and you end up with these sucker holes and be like, oh, hey, quick, look at the moon. Aw, it's cloudy. Oh, hey, look, it's back. Aw, it's cloudy. And that just kind of gets really frustrating for not just us, but like the people looking through the telescope and really wanting to see something. So we just decided to call it quits.
Now, if you were to replace the word cloud with clown, then it would have made for something else entirely different.
It would have, and there probably would have been a lot of traumatized children.
Just a bunch of clowns floating in the air.
It's the killer clowns from outer space.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
All right. So, speaking of space, let's get into this podcast. Let's run down the description of this show in case you're brand new to Tris. This is a show where we discuss all things related to, associated with, have to something. I'm running out of words. What's some more words? Quick thesaurus.
More words?
Yes.
Connected to.
Sure.
I can't think of anything. Interacting with.
Yes. All that and more.
In cahoots with.
Cahoots with time travel, robots and space and science fiction and science fact. We run these subjects down in a new story from each, discuss our related entertainment picks, and ask and answer the question of the week for you, the audio subscribers. If you want to see us record the show, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we'll let you know when and where that's going to be. We do have the live page at galacticnetcast.com/live, but you can also watch us on youtube.com/galacticnetcast, either live right now or in the future in the archived video of the show. So, are you guys ready to go?
I am.
Woo!
All right, let's push the button, get this bad boy humming.
Sector 1, time travel.
Bad boy humming? What?
What?
I don't know what that means. Okay.
Bad boy humming.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I said I don't know what that means.
Why did you say it?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's late. I'm tired. Let's just start the show.
So time travel.
Time travel. Yes. Paul, you've got the first story.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing you the 7 silliest time travel concepts ever. And each of these come from film. This is what I have to give you this week.
Okay.
So, Dave, I'm sorry.
Why are you apologizing?
You'll see. Okay. Number one, or we'll start at the bottom. Number 7, the original Star Trek. Now,
what?
For those of
see, so, I don't like you, Paul. I don't like you, Paul Swigard.
I told you it's going to get worse. I promise. So, for those of you who don't know, they were traveling. They've had a few things, like probably the most overt problem with the most egregious offense was the 1966 television show season 1 episode 21 called Tomorrow is Yesterday, when the Enterprise crew traveled through time by slingshotting around the sun. And that's it.
And you have to remember that they repeated that in Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that.
Okay, let's explain what was the concept behind slingshotting around the sun? How did that make
strong gravitational pull and trying to pick up speed? That's basically how these things go, right? Creating a time warp.
Okay, yep. Yep, I think you're right. Yep.
And generally, you'll find that a lot of these things just revolve around speed. Let's go really, really fast.
Cuz isn't that how it works?
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Do you know? Because if you know, I'd love to find out more.
I mean, we've talked about it before on the show.
Sure.
How the faster you go and the farther you go, I guess, that's you're actually time traveling, right? So maybe it has something to do with that.
Whatever.
Paul's like, who cares? Let's just move on.
Well, we got 6 more, and all these things need to be discussed.
Okay, I can't wait for the second one. Go ahead.
Next one, number 2, Escape from the Planet of the Apes. This is the 3rd installment of the Planet of the Apes series, and the Earth is being destroyed by a massive nuclear explosion, and 3 apes avoid this destruction by restoring a spaceship and flying away from the doomed planet, namely our planet, but they're caught in a shockwave and end up going through a time warp. So there you go. Shockwaves cause time travel.
That's happened in a number of TV series and movies. The old shockwave. Oh, the good old shockwave.
The shockwave is brutal, man.
Yes.
Shockwaves. I have not seen said Planet of the Apes, but yeah. Whatever.
Anessa, what's that TV show where he's an astronaut? I think we've talked about this either on Time Traveling Robots in Space or on Alien Invasion, where it's that he's an astronaut, he goes into space, and then he gets like his ship gets caught in some kind of something similar, and that's not time travel, he just goes really, really far across the galaxy. Never mind. All right. Sorry.
Confused now.
I thought I had something there, but then okay, never mind. Number three.
All is forgiven, Dave. Another reason for Dave and Anessa to hate me, Doctor Who.
For shame.
I'm sorry.
So, let me describe. This long-running British television show is infamous for playing fast and loose with time travel. I am reading the article, so just...
So you didn't write this. You're reading somebody else's writing.
It sounds like something I would say. It sounds like something I would say, which is why I'm putting that disclaimer out there. But even for a show whose main character travels unrestricted through time and space, the beings known as Weeping Angels are kind of a stretch, albeit terrifyingly cool. The whole thing about Now, just bear with me. That whole thing about how they kill people by sending them back in time so they live to death and then feed off of the potential energy of all of their victims would have to be done through their original time. Does that make sense?
Anessa, you're the weeping angel expert here.
Am I the weeping angel expert? Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch to say that these beings are able to send people back in time and then basically feed off of, I don't know if it's really residual energy or potential energy that would have happened if they had stayed in their current time.
So let me get this straight. They're trying to send people back in time so that they can sort of feed off of energy that they would have had they been living through that time?
Yes. Huh. They're sending them to, it's, I guess, a bunch of potential energy.
Look on Dave's face. Yeah, he's like, I mean, no, that's horrible.
No, I'm a Doctor Who fan. That concept for the Weeping Angels is kind of lame, I have to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea that they send people back in time. Because there's not really anything that you can do about that. If you're just a normal person that encounters weeping angels and then you get sent back like 100 years or even 50 years, and then you have to adapt to living in a completely new culture and time. But yeah, the feeding off of the quote potential energy that's left behind just seems weird. It's like there's a gap where they're supposed to be, and so they're feeding off of that energy. I don't know how.
It wasn't until the last episode of the Weeping the last episode with the Weeping Angels that was revealed, right?
I believe so, because I don't remember them really. I don't know.
They were just scary before.
I know in Blink they were just straight up scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to remember whenever. I believe it was Amy and Rory and the doctor. They were running and they were like trying to get away from the weeping angels, and people were starting to forget things because of the rift. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe they said anything in that episode, because you had
the more it sounds like more description is not helpful to making me believe this.
So
the weeping angels. Yeah. So, I don't remember exactly at what point they talk about this feeding off of potential energy.
So we're not winning you over, Paul, by our description of this?
No. That's not what I mean. I mean that the additional description of what's going on is not helpful. Okay. For
like the additional motivation for why they do what they do. If you just leave it at them being creepy, it's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Well, too much explanation in sci-fi, I find, is a little bit, it just gets kind of ham-fisted. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of, at a point, you're just like, okay, I'm over it. Whatever. Which I kind of get. I'm like, I don't really need too much of it because I already know it's fake in the first place. So what's the problem?
So,
yeah, because like the article says something about taking the idea of opening a transversible wormhole through time and space, the theory of time travel that appears to be supported by Einstein's general relativity. Opening that wormhole would require an enormous amount of energy known as dark energy or negative energy. Right. That aside, when a person goes into a transversible wormhole, there's no reason he or she would leave behind potential energy that would have been. It's poetic, but scientifically speaking, it doesn't make much sense even for Doctor Who.
And it seems like they're exerting more energy than they'll get in return for making these people go back in time.
Like, right. I think it's maybe they are trying to be more poetic and not really scientific for this.
Paul.
So it's like I'm feeding off of what could have been, like the life you could have had.
Yep.
So rather than actually killing the people, they just send them back in time to live.
Paul, what did you say?
And enjoy the empty space.
Were you saying something, Paul?
I'm actually a little bit afraid to describe what it is that I was going to say because I realized that you're from Iowa. But I was like, hey, it's like ethanol.
No, I'm not. Paul, let's clarify this. I'm not from Iowa.
I know.
I live in Iowa.
You're not from Iowa. Okay, fine.
And I know what the joke is. Ha ha. Okay.
No, it's like, that wasn't even a crack. That was honest to God. Like, I was honestly saying that it seems like one of those processes that you're getting as much energy or less than you are putting into it. So you're having a negative effect. So what's the problem? Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like ethanol. I understand. Yep. Got it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put a practical spin on this whole sci-fi
How
thing.
Dare you make our fun little sci-fi show all political and stuff and serious?
Political? I was not trying to be political at all.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Time and again. What's Time and Again all about?
Time and Again. This is a science fiction novel by Jack Finney. The main character, Simon Morley, becomes a test subject in a U.S. military time travel research something or other. And which, to be honest, the U.S. military was kind of screwing around with some wacky stuff in the 60s and 70s. Like, and that's true. Like, including you have LSD to get psychic powers. You have a chemical weapon known as a quote-unquote gay bomb. And that, again, that's true. That supposedly, like, is going to make enemy troops aggressively infatuated with each other.
I can't believe they actually thought that that would work at one time.
I don't get it. I do not get it, but whatever. It's not important. In Time and Again, the government's testing hypothesis was that if you can convince a person he has traveled through time, then that person will have traveled through time. So it is literally, if you believe hard enough, this will happen.
It's kind of like that Christopher
Reeve. It's the Peter Pan of time travel.
It's kind
of
like that Christopher Reeve movie where he wishes he was back in time and he went back in time because he wished it.
I know, right?
Yeah, Somewhere in Time. Although he's really a creeper in that movie, though, I swear. It's like, I'm falling in love with this painting, and I'm going to go and visit it every day.
Vanessa, I almost know nothing about, like, that movie, except, like, what I do remember about that movie is that you have described Christopher Reeve as a creeper. That's what
he is a creeper.
And I totally get that.
He becomes, like, obsessed with this painting.
I would like to go back to our episodes and get a tally of how many episodes we've mentioned that movie. It's been quite a few episodes of the podcast where we've mentioned that Christopher Reeve movie.
Somewhere in Time.
Yes.
Where he's a creeper.
Yes.
He's a creeper.
And you always say he's a creeper. It's like we're looping. It's a time loop.
Yeah.
At least I am being consistent.
Yes.
About my opinion on Christopher Reeve in that movie.
You're not waffling at all. That's for sure.
No, he's a creeper.
I'm not.
In that movie.
And you know what? That's cool. You can think he's a creeper. I'm not trying to justify his actions. I don't even really know what he did other than, like, just be weird.
He was in love. He was in love so much that he went back in time. Come on.
Okay. And I am not justifying his actions in any way. But you hear some of the stories that I've heard with regard to courting relationships. And some of the stuff that people will do to try to gain the interest of said, you know, infatuated one can border on stalking. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say.
Yep.
It just gets a little weird at times.
That's there's a gray area, definitely.
Again, not justifying actions. Next. Okay. Back to the Future.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with the way they travel back in time.
88 miles per hour.
Hey, what are you talking
plus
about?
Plus a flex capacitor. And 21.21 gigawatts equals time travel, folks.
Yes, of course. Makes sense.
Jumps in gigawatts.
I have to agree with Dave. There is nothing wrong with Back to the Future, and curses be upon them for even putting remote dispersions on the Back to the Future trilogy. I'm one of those weird people that loves the second one. I think it might be the strongest of the three. Like, and I know I'm in the minority on that one.
You are in the minority. I'm a purist. I like the first one.
Yeah. And I get that. I totally get why that is. I don't know why. It hit me at the right time.
I think if they would have made the second and third one closer to the first one, I think it would have flowed. It would have made more sense. But it seems like they got too old between the first
Maybe.
And the second and third
See,
one.
That's the thing is I didn't watch that series until all three of them were out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just because I was younger,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I wasn't interested in it until I was older. And by the time I was interested in it, I was like, you know, which you know it was like 10. All of the movies came out.
So what's their argument in this article as to why their time travel? Why is it stupid?
Well, okay. So this is how they get into it. A capacitor is a device that stores electricity by creating an electrical field between two charged but not touching metal plates. Flux, in quotes, refers to the flow of something through space and can be used to refer to time. So perhaps the flux capacitor, this is their description of it. So perhaps the flux capacitor is special because it's a wishbone shape, and that means it has three metal plates? ? Most theories of time travel always require the time machine to be traveling at extremely high velocities, or using a warp drive or a wormhole to cut through time and space, thus moving from one place to another in an amount of time that seems like the vessel is moving faster than the speed of light. In that context, why would you want 88 miles per hour? And I didn't know this, the writers chose 88 because the number 8 looks like an infinite symbol.
Okay. Well, it's attainable. That's why they chose 88 miles an hour is because...
Well, attainable in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever. That's cool.
Well, I mean, you're going to have access to a car more than you're going to have access to, like, a jet. So...
There's
some other vehicle that could reach a higher device, you know?
They could have made it a little bit faster to make it hard, just a little bit harder. But then again, going through the middle of...
Going through town.
Yeah, town. I was thinking that, too, that if you want to reach, 150 miles an hour or whatever, that would be harder to do than 88.
That would be difficult.
Yeah.
Cool. Next, time traveler's wife. I have not seen this, but listen to this. So, scientifically, the book's, the reason for his time travel is that Henry, one of the story's main characters, is ascribed to a genetic disorder called chrono impairment, which is, basically it's some kind of pseudoscience. It's something that's kind of meaningless, and that's it.
Huh.
He basically has a genetic disorder, and that's why he's jumping around all over the place.
That's kind of like that movie that just came out.
About Time?
Yeah, About Time, where it's in their, their family. Members
of
their family.
Yeah, it's a pass down through the men.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. It kind of goes to, on the one... See, I don't know. I guess in the context of the... movie, that would make some sense, because I don't think it's a movie about time travel. It's like some sort of tragic love story, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So, yep. I mean, describing what the time travel is and why he's doing it is kind of a moot point.
It's kind of like the Christopher Reeve movie. It doesn't really, you don't really have to worry about how it's done. It's just that it is done.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah.
Cool. And number one, and I actually completely agree with this. Superman the movie. Dave, have you seen Superman the movie?
Yes. Goes around backwards, circles the earth backwards.
So Lois dies at the end of the movie, and in order to prevent this, Superman tries to reverse the spin of the earth, and he does that by flying in the opposite direction of the earth as fast as he possibly can to try to get the earth to stop from spinning and actually spin backwards. Which would cause
a lot of problems if the earth stopped.
I suppose that could work. I mean, it hasn't happened, so I don't know.
No, it would just cause a lot of problems down here on Earth. It wouldn't change the flow of time in any way.
I mean,
you would end up with, probably affecting the... if you affected the rate of rotation, of course, that would have effect on... the sunrise and sunset, and probably migration patterns and whatnot of different critters. So, but I don't really see it.
We're spinning
going back in time. We're still going forward in time. We're just traveling a different direction now.
So we're spinning at what I think it's 1,000 miles an hour right now. It's something like that. I don't know.
It's something ridiculously fast.
Right. So, but if somehow one time that were to just stop, all of us would fly Everything would fly in one direction.
And okay, I think that maybe you guys have the wrong idea about why Superman went backwards. He wasn't doing it to stop the Earth. He was actually going back in time himself. He wasn't making the Earth go back in time. He was going back in time. That's what I thought it was.
Okay. All I remember
it's been a really
is
long
he
time since
goes
I've
out.
Seen the movie.
All I remember is he goes out into space, starts flying around the Earth as fast as he can. I see the Earth stop, and then it starts spinning backwards.
I think that was just a visual effect to show that he went back in time.
I think you're giving it a little too much credit.
Yeah, I know.
And it is 1,040 miles per hour.
Okay. That's really fast.
I know. Right? Why aren't we spinning out of control? Why aren't we, like, feeling it, you know?
Gravity.
Oh, okay.
Awesomeness.
Relative.
Atmosphere.
Right? Okay, all right.
Magic.
Science.
That is a completely different podcast.
Magic.
I'm like, science.
How dare you mention the word science on this show, Vanessa?
Oh, my bad. Magic.
Magic.
Thank you.
Magic. All right. Good list, Paul. Thank you very much for bringing that to the table.
Sure.
You guys ready to move on, or is there anything else you want to add to this?
I think we've spent plenty of time on this.
Yes.
We have.
I think we have too. All right. We would love your feedback, dear listeners. Do you agree with this list? Do you think they're all stupid? Do you think there needs to be some added to this list? Let us know. Give us feedback. The number to call, our voicemail number. Yes, we do have a voicemail number. It is 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. You can email, if you're more of a typer than talker, you can email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Again, that's galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. All right.
Sector 2. Robots.
Anessa, this is all yours.
Woo! So, the parties to the unfortunately named UN Convention on Conventional Weapons.
What?
Recently.
Whoa.
Yes. The UN Convention on Conventional Weapons.
Got it.
It's a little redundant. They recently voted in Geneva to take up the issue of lethal autonomous weapon systems, also known as killer robots, in its agenda next year. So fully autonomous robots should not be confused with remotely piloted drones. These are robots that can do things on their own without any person typing in a program and telling them what to do. And so they're really concerned that if they don't do something about these fully autonomous robots, the trend is we're working our way towards fully autonomous robots.
We've had a couple
and they're concerned.
Yeah, we've had a couple of stories on this podcast about the development of these fully autonomous robots, how they're getting closer and closer all the time.
I think it's kind of inevitable.
And so we're working our way towards this trend. And I guess there are people out there that have noticed that we're kind of working our way towards fully autonomous robots. And they are concerned about there being fully autonomous robots. And what they're basically trying to do is stop the problem before it becomes a problem. And they say that... the activists at this convention say that several robotic systems with various degrees of autonomy and lethality are in use by Britain, Israel, the United States, and South Korea. They say other nations, such as China and Russia, are believed to be moving towards these systems. I lost my train of thought. So yeah, basically what they're wanting to do is add more
regulations,
basically ban these maybe not so much like rules and regulations, but they're just wanting to say, no, this should not be a thing because this would not be very good to have robots that have full control over their actions as far as if they're designed to kill, then it's at their discretion and not because there's someone watching through a camera going, okay, locked on target, fire or attack or whatever the command happens to be. So they really don't want the robots to have a say because, you know, what if something goes wrong and you've got like some little kid running across the field playing and he does completely oblivious to what's going on and the robot sees it as a potential enemy, hostile enemy, and it's like, boom, dead. Kid's gone.
Or
all he was doing was playing, you know, catch.
Or what if the robots gain intelligence, self-awareness, and decide that their makers are evil and rebel against the makers, and they develop their own spaceships and these maybe big ones, we might want to call them base stars.
I knew you were going with that. Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, yes.
Toasters. It's all happened before and it will happen again.
Yes. So this is going to happen and then it's going to happen again.
I love that the UN is talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a time where you'd be laughed off the face of the planet if you ever, like, would mention this idea. But, no, here we are. We are talking about it. I think it's going to happen.
I think a lot of it has to do with just our progress with technology in general.
Yeah.
And now you actually have, maybe they're watching more science fiction. But you get things like Robopocalypse, and you have, you know, like the Terminator movies with like these killer robots, and they see these videos of what DARPA's doing, and they read these articles, and they see what other countries are doing, and they're like, you know what? This is something that can't end well.
No. Yeah, don't put a gun in the hands of a robot who has the decision to kill or not. You know, that's going to end badly every time.
Yeah, but they say that it's also worth remembering that chemical weapons were banned by international treaty almost 2 decades before they were used to such disastrous effect in World War I. So, I mean, even if they do set a ban, it might not even really help. Because it didn't really seem to do much for chemical warfare.
Banned in the USA. Remember that song? Banned.
I do.
Born.
No, it was the rap group.
Oh, because you're singing it to the sound of John Mellencamp.
No, it's like, Bruce Springsteen.
No, Bruce Springsteen,
but that
that's
was,
right.
But that was their version of it. It was banned in the USA. It was...
Oh, was it?
What what rap group
Yeah,
was
I
that?
Never heard that one.
All right.
Me neither.
Never mind. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, interesting. But this is interesting, though. I mean, all you got to do is watch the internet. Just surf the internet once. Do a Google search for fully autonomous robots or just robots, period, and you will come up with so many results that I'm not surprised that they're taking action on this already, trying to jump the gun, trying to nip this in the bud before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, and I mean, it's great if they can, but like the article pointed out, they kind of did the same thing with chemical weapons. And so it's kind of one of those things, if there's a will, then there's a way, and people are going to do it regardless if there's a ban or not.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good point.
But maybe it would slow things down a bit, because then they have to be more secretive about things, and they can't be like open and look, we're rapidly developing this technology. Like instead, they have to like do it in close quarter and not raise suspicions and whatnot. So,
but anytime that you want to ban something, there's those people in society.
It just makes them want to do it more.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't have this cookie. And you're like, oh God, I really want this chocolate chip cookie.
So they're going to make it
I
even.
See. So we're all North Korea in this particular example.
Yes.
So.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll see what happens with that before we move on to space. I want to thank our sponsor for the time traveling robots in space, audible.com. It's audiobooks that you listen to using your ears. I guess that'd be the only way to listen, right? Well, if you had those headphones with that bone conducting headphones, it's not really using your ears, right? I don't know.
What? I think that's a very dubious distinction, David.
Bone connecting headphones. Are you talking about like the
bone conducting? It uses you listen. Yeah, you listen through the bone. You don't listen through the ear. You listen through the bone.
But it would still have to somehow resonate on the ear, and so wouldn't that?
Let's just move on.
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know.
Let's just move on. Audible.com sponsoring this Galactic Netcast, and for you, our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service and to go along with the theme of this very podcast. May we suggest An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, What's Going On or What's Going to Space, taught me about ingenuity, determination, and being prepared for anything, written and narrated by the great Chris Hadfield.
You know, I'm honestly surprised that you didn't do this as a pick.
Well, I'd have to listen to it or read it first.
I know, but I'm just kind of surprised you didn't like save it for a pick later on down the road.
Oh, no. I'm thinking about reading this or listening to it on Audible because I'm really interested. He's a fascinating character. If you're not familiar with him, Chris Hadfield was born on a small grew up on a small farm in Ontario, Canada, and he wanted to become an astronaut. He was recently on
lots of stuff.
Yeah, he's been all over. He's been on a press.
Like, he's been promoting his book quite a bit. He was on I was listening to something with him on it the other day.
Well, I was listening to that NPR show, the news quiz. What's it called?
The Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Yeah, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He was the guest. He was the Not My Job guest for that. And they got in discussion about how he got into being an astronaut, how he grew up on this farm and he saw, the first men on the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, walk on the moon. And he's like, yep, that's what I want to do. So he basically, he prepared himself for all these occasions. Like he knew that he wanted to be an astronaut, so he got into the Air Force. And then he wanted to, and then he was in this class of like 300 people. And only like the top five would become these pilots. And then he got in that top five. And then he wanted to be an astronaut. So he prepared himself way ahead of time for the fact that he might become an astronaut someday. So it's a real interesting story. And you guys know that he's a musician too, right?
He did that video.
Yeah. And he's in a band. Like one of the first things he did when he got back from his last trip up to the International Space Station was to have a gig with his band. So he's a very interesting guy. And if you want to read more about him or listen to more about him, get his book on Audible for free. Again, it's An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth by Chris Hadfield, narrated by Chris Hadfield. And you can get it for free with your free 30-day trial just by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the time-traveling robots in space.
Space.
What, Anessa?
No, I was going to say, I want to say that he was also on Science Friday not too long ago. Okay. That's where I heard him.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. He's been making the rounds. So, he's been plugging his book.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And it was really interesting because he was talking about when he did the music video and stuff in space. And his son was basically taking, he saw like a lot of requests coming in for Chris to do David Bowie, and Chris was like, I will do it under the condition that the lyrics get changed. So the guy survives.
Yeah, because the astronaut dies at the end.
Yeah, the astronaut dies, and so the son was like, all right. So he changed the lyrics up a little bit, and off it went.
I just wonder how much bandwidth it took to download that video footage from the ISS to Earth, right? Because he had to shoot it, and
yeah.
Either that or they maybe took it in one of the, you know, they make the supply runs, right? They have they have the ships that come up to the International Space Station.
For supplies. They might have done that. Yeah. But yeah, he basically filmed himself.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That leads us into space. You know what? Poor countries want space programs more than the rich ones do.
I don't believe that, Dave.
Well, I'm here to tell you that it's the truth. And this is why. This week's launch of India's... You guys heard that India launched a spacecraft to Mars, right?
Yes, I did. And... Yeah, I heard reasoning behind it because India got a lot of criticism for spending right. $75 million on this.
Yeah, when they're...
Well, because when like their own country is poor.
Yeah, very, yeah. very poor.
I mean, $75 billion or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
Continue,
so,
Dave.
The Indian Space Research Organization, the ISRO, has bolder aims. In 2015, it plans to send a probe to Venus, then another to the Sun. A reusable launch vehicle is already in the works, something that NASA is letting SpaceX develop. These achievements, however, haven't stopped detractors from asking why India is doing this when a third of its people live below the international poverty line. And the simple answer is because it makes economic sense. And I totally get this, because just think of all the money that this country has made off of our space program, right? All the industries related to it.
Sure. I think most people view it as a black hole of money, like that results in no tangible benefit. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, like, you know, you talk, especially when you're talking about like politicians, like, you know, you're spending however many, 70, we'll call it $75 billion. And where's the quote unquote return on investment? Or is it just to see if we can do it?
Mm-hmm.
The thing with India and my understanding with their motive is they're basically wanting to put this money into developing their space program and showing the rest of the world that they're capable of developing a space program, and not just a space program, but a successful space program. So if this mission to Mars ends up being a success, then what they're hoping to get back from that is you have people seeing what's going on with India, and you see that they have a promising space program and they've been successful on their, you know, goal of heading towards Mars and then eventually Venus and whatnot. And what they're hoping for is by showing people this, people will want to start to invest in their space program and thus coming to India to create jobs and helping expand their space industry and creating jobs and bringing more money into the economy. So they're taking a risk by investing such a large amount of money in hopes that it will result in more money coming in. So sure. I can see where people criticize them because, you know, they have such a large number of people that live below the international poverty line, but I can see their motivation, and it's kind of one of those, well, we could sit here and we can hope and we can dream and, you know, do nothing about it, or we can just go balls to the wall and hope for the best. And that's essentially what they're doing, is they're hoping that they'll be successful enough to actually get people interested in them and bring money into their economy and, you know, potentially create jobs and more opportunities for their people. So,
and it seems like, you know, India is not alone, because more than 70 countries have some kind of space programs, either right. active or in the works. So,
which I didn't know. I thought it was much, much less than that. I would have said like 10.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting. And these guys have a proven record because they've got the, the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Has a success rate of 95% in its 23 launches. 23 launches.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. I didn't realize that they were going up that often.
Yeah. They're really trying. And of course, if you don't have anything to show, they're building a record. They're showing that, you know, they're being successful. But without that, like, people aren't going to want to invest any money
mm-hmm.
or do anything. And so they have to show something like,
yeah, I get,
look, we can totally do this.
I get what you're saying, because we didn't realize that I didn't realize that they've been going up this much. So that goes to your point of really making a bang and going, hey, we're going to Mars. We're doing this. We're doing that. Watch us and invest in this country because we want to do big things.
Exactly.
Hmm. Interesting. I say more power to them. I say the more countries go into space, the better, because the more people involved in a space program, the more progress we'll make in space. And I can't wait until we have like a permanent presence, like not just in orbit, but like in the near solar system. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And not just robotic spacecraft either.
No, like manned space flight.
Yeah, exactly. All right, there you go. That's an interesting article. We'll have the link to this in the show notes, because there's a lot more involved than just what we talked about. There's a lot of little details that we didn't cover, but I'm sure that if you would like to read more, we'll have the link in the show notes of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do we got going on next? Oh, more of this Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast. But first, we would like to thank Stitcher Smart Radio for sponsoring this Galactic Netcast. You can listen to all kinds of podcasts. You can listen to our podcasts. You can listen to the podcasts that me and Nessa and I mentioned. Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Science Friday is the one that you mentioned,
yes.
Right? Yep. Both available on Stitcher, I am sure.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to Time Traveling Robots in Space, and then Stitcher will suggest other shows similar to this one. So if you're really into science or science fiction-y stuff, then it will tell you, hey, if you like this, you may like this. If you like this, you may like this. Kind of like the eye doctor. Is this better or this better? This better, this better. Anyways, that is Stitcher Smart Radio. Go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and enter the promo code Galactic Netcast. That really shows Stitcher that we're sending people their way. If you're already a member, hey, unsubscribe, resubscribe with the URL Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and the promo code Galactic Netcasts. You can listen to just streaming audio. You can download audio. They've got this really cool offline feature that automatically downloads when you don't even know it. And that's that way you can listen to shows when you don't have an internet connection, if that is possible. Like maybe you're on a plane or something and you want to listen to something. There you go. Stitcher Smart Radio. We thank them for their support of the Time Traveling Robots in Space. All right. I've been waiting to talk about this. Time for picks. Do you guys mind if I go first?
No, go first.
I mind. I'm sorry.
Damn you.
I don't care.
Damn you, Moines. All right. So the brand new show called Almost Human premiered this week on the Fox Television Network. Two-night premiere on Sunday and Monday. And I believe Monday's the normal time, I think. I think Monday night.
I think it is the normal time. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a really cool show. It takes place 35 years in the future when humans in the Los Angeles Police Department are paired up with lifelike androids. A detective who has a dislike for robot partners is paired up with an android capable of emotion. And that's the character of Carl Urban. Of course, we all know Carl Urban from Paul's favorite movie, Dread.
I don't know about favorite, but Dread is pretty damn fun.
It's got to be up there, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also know him as Bones, Dr. McCoy from the Star Trek mm-hmm. reboot movies. He's also been in what was the sequel to Pitch Black?
Oh, was he in?
Really? Yeah, he was in.
Was he in the Riddick movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the Riddick movies.
Yeah.
Oh. He was on Ghost Ship.
Ooh.
He was in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So
he's been in a lot of things.
So I'm really surprised that he's doing a TV show because he's mainly known for a movie actor, right? And I mean, he's the Fox has got to be paying him just a bunch of money. And yeah. I think their bet paid off because he is really good. Like yeah. I love Carl Urban, and I especially love the guy that plays his android partner, because
yeah, I've seen him in a few other things. I don't know his name though.
He's super charming. Like those two have a really good chemistry. Like they're a buddy cop. This is a buddy cop show, and it just one of them just happens to be an android.
Now let me understand the premise here. He's paired with an android and he doesn't like it. Is that the
okay.
sort of the tension?
Okay. How it starts is, it starts in the past where he's in this firefight. There's a lot of crime in the future. There's these syndicates that are battling for control of Los Angeles. And he's in this firefight with this organization, and they knew that they were coming. They were ambushed. So he's with his human partner, and then there's some other androids fighting with them. And the android that he's with tells him, scans his partner, and he says his partner is about to die anyway, so it doesn't matter that you want to save him. You shouldn't save him. We should just go. So he kind of has animosity towards androids.
Okay.
But there's two kinds of androids on this show. There's the kind that are just like non-feeling, only have the data. They're just straight up androids. And then there's this kind of android that his new partner is. And he was like, that kind of android was retired because they had some problems because they were too emotional. They have some kind of algorithm that makes them emotional, feeling like almost human. That's how advanced they are. But they had problems, so they retired him. So when Carl Urban's character had a problem with androids, his higher-up said, let's try these ones that were retired. So his partner now is like this really human-like android.
So he's paired up with one of these androids that are apparently have problems.
Yeah.
What did they specify what the problems were?
They were just too emotional. They just
too emotional.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's all they say is they're too emotional. I could see that becoming an issue later on, like a storyline.
Sure.
Exactly.
No, totally.
Why were they? You know, why was that happening? Is that some kind of, you know, a problem with the software? Or you know, we're not really sure. But as of right now, those two have the greatest chemistry, and like the android dude actually is trying to make Carl Urban a better human being. He said last episode, the second episode, he like set up an online dating profile for him, and like he was getting dates for him. And then like the Carl Urban character like calls them synthetic, or uses some derogatory name for androids, and
like you do.
Yeah, like you do. And his partner didn't like that. So his partner's very much like the spokesperson for androids. Like he's like offended.
Android equality.
Yeah, exactly. Also on the show is Minka Kelly. You guys familiar with Minka Kelly?
She was on Friday Night Lights.
That's where... I was trying to put my finger on that, trying to figure out what show she was on. Yes, she's on this. She's one of the detectives. And then Lily Taylor. You know who that is, right?
No.
She was on... she's best known for Say Anything with John Cusack way back in the day. She's very unique looking. Like, she's... You'd recognize her if you saw her. So, yeah, I totally recommend this show. This show is awesome. It's getting a lot of buzz. People Ooh. That weren't quite sure about it at first watched it and said, wow, this is an amazing show, and I hope that it's successful.
Yeah, I was telling Dave before that I saw the previews and was genuinely interested. And then it kind of, and then like some critics got a hold of it or something. I just remember hearing buzz that it was just not that good. And now, like, and now I'm hearing from like people like Dave that it's actually pretty darn cool and you should watch it. So yeah,
it's one that I'd like
I think
to
I'll
see.
Give it some. I think I'll give it some investment. I think I'll
yeah, totally it do it.
Add it to my long list of things I need to watch.
I know, right?
It's on Monday nights at 8/7 Central.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's. I was going to say one more thing. What was I going to say?
I'm looking at it now. It's actually on demand if you've missed it, which is I have. So if you've missed it, you can go online and look for it.
I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu as well. I'm not positive, but Fox makes most of their shows available on Hulu as well.
I'm going to check.
I'm going to actually check my DVR as well.
Carl Urban is interesting because he doesn't quite have the American accent down. And once in a while, the Australian or the New Zealand will slip in real quick. It's interesting.
I love how like kind of classic American that guy is forced to play all the time.
I know. And then like in the interview, like I saw him do a promo for this new Star Trek, pinball game. And he did not use his natural accent. He used an American accent in the promo. He's like, "Hi, I'm Carl Urban, Star Trek's Bones." And he was using an American accent. Why would you do that? Why would you, is it so people won't freak out that, oh, I didn't know that he was or New Zealandish?
I don't know.
Maybe since he's promoting a particular chain and like this character, they just want to keep consistency for people that maybe don't know.
Okay.
So, or maybe he wanted to keep the accent because there are, I remember listening to an interview and I don't remember who it was, but they had asked him, like, why didn't you keep your character? Like, why didn't you keep your accent when you did this character? And why did you take on the American accent? He's like, oh, I wanted to do the American accent. Because it was, I guess, kind of like fun and challenging and stuff. So maybe it's something along the same lines.
Okay, yeah.
And so he's like, well, I already play this character that has an American accent. I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah, you don't want to confuse.
So,
and you don't want to confuse people sometimes, too.
People don't like change.
No.
That's true.
They want to hear Americans just like me. America.
It's not America. It's America.
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 All right. So that's my recommendation. That's my pick. Almost Human. Check it out.
It looks like... Actually, no. Hang on. I'm trying to see if it's on Hulu Plus.
Oh, that's what you were Almost doing with Human. Your little phone.
Yeah. See? I'm on Hulu Plus.
Hey.
And it looks like the episodes are on Hulu Plus. So...
Cool.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So you got plenty of choices as to how you can watch it.
Yes.
You have no excuse not to watch it now.
Well, Dave,
are options.
Paul.
There's too much stuff to do.
Well, do what I did this year. I cut out a bunch of shows that I was like,
I know. I had to do that recently.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of sad.
Yeah. But you know what? They'll always be there. They'll always be there. You can catch
That's
up later.
That's true. You're right.
All right, Paul.
You know I hate it when you're right.
Paul, what's your pick?
Sorry. What?
What's your pick?
What are we talking about? What's my pick? This is a first for me. I am picking a list from Reddit.
Oh, your pick is a list. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Basically, some very, very smart individual compiled a list of the best sci-fi short films, and he made this list of about, I think it's 58 different short films throughout the interwebs.
Short films.
Put them all here. Yeah. All right. And even on this list, I believe is a Nessa's pick.
Yeah, I just looked and it's like the second one down. I'm like, oh, that's my pick.
Well, Anessa's watched enough short films that I'm sure that at least one will be
like
on that
half
list.
Of them are probably on here.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't heard of the majority of these, to be honest. And it's cool. I'm glad that this exists because I'm totally like now I have a frame of reference so I don't have to like sift through piles of crap just so I can find something cool that I can watch.
Holy cow. Yeah, there's a lot on here.
There's a lot. I've seen a few of these. Not all of them, though.
Oh, Alive in Joburg. That is the one that was based, that was the inspiration or the testing for
District 9.
District 9, yeah.
Well, that was initially just a short film project, and then it just kind of like ventured on from there. It grew from there.
I've seen some of these. I've seen some of these films.
Yeah, I've seen some of these, so.
Blinky, The Device, I've seen. Interesting.
Let's see. Of course, you already mentioned Alive in Joburg. I've seen
The Final Moments of Carl Brandt.
Portal, No Escape. That one's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that one.
Oh, that's the one that one of Brian Brushwood's buddies did that film. The Portal film. Yeah.
So, sweet.
Wow, this is a good guide, Paul.
Like, I know. That's why I was totally stoked when I found it. This was just today. I was like, ooh, this is neat.
Wow.
Most of these are just links to either Vimeo or YouTube movies, which is, hey, rock on.
That's where you find a lot of short films. Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting site I didn't know existed, shortoftheweek.com.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really all it is. It's short, it's sweet. But if you ever find that you have some extra time to devote to watching some short movies, and when I mean short, most of these are like, between 5 and 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might get one that's like 15,
sure,
20 minutes. But, yeah, for the most part, they're about 10 minutes.
But, yeah, go here. 5 to 10 minutes. This is your one-stop shop.
And we'll have the link in the show notes so you can check them out for yourself. And hours of, if not a bunch of minutes of fun.
At least a couple of hours of fun.
Ooh, another one I've seen, Keloid. I've seen that one too. There's a bunch on here that I've seen. All right. Rock on.
You may have seen more than me that's on this list.
It's possible. Yeah, it is.
So.
All right, Paul, thank you. Thank you.
Thumbs up. Bookmark it. Enjoy.
Okay. Anessa, what do you got? Abe.
I have Abe, which was number two listed on the list that Paul just talked about. this one is about 8 minutes or so long if you count the credits. So without the credits, it's about 7 minutes. I found this description on a geekyworld.com, and it says, this beautiful short tells the story of a robot designed to love. Serving a family, he realizes that although he loves them, they only see him as a slave. Because no one designed him on what to do if those he loves do not love back. Thus, being a robot, he assumes they are broken and tries to fix them. And so he becomes really creepy. It is an allegory to a human serial killer, a psychopath or sociopath. In the end, he also wishes that he could stop and realize what it is that everyone thinks he is doing wrong. But as he does not realize what is wrong, he cannot stop. It has a subtle tone whose concept is quite terrifying and makes one also think, if robots are created, what will their purpose be if we decide they're no longer of use, especially if AI, like artificial intelligence, is created? So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's creepy because you have this robot and he has this woman tied up in a chair with duct tape over her mouth, and he's talking to her and he's essentially like, you don't love me like I love you, and so I have to fix you, like you're broken.
Oh my God.
And so he's basically killing these people trying to fix them, and he can never fix them, and so he just repeatedly falls in love with someone else and they don't love him back, so he tries to fix them. And he talks about this family that he used to have once.
She puts the lotion.
They didn't love him.
She puts the lotion on the skin.
Or else it gets the hose again.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's actually really good. It's creepy, but it's really good. So, I highly recommend giving it a watch.
So, that just, that'll teach you a lesson. To love your future artificial intelligent robot that will love you back.
Yes. Love your robot.
Mm-hmm. Love all
otherwise
things.
Otherwise, it'll think that you're broken, and it'll try to fix you.
Yes.
And it's not going to be pretty.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So.
All right. Good job. Thank you, Anessa. We'll put the links to all of the picks in are on the picks page. Well, we won't have all of them on the picks page. We'll have, I believe, Almost Human, and that's it. But you'll find the links on the show notes of the podcast to check out for yourself. All right. Question of the week. Paul, what do you got for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking a lot about autonomous killer robots. If we all had them today, and I mean every country, who would be the first to go? Who would be the nuclear option? Who's gonna do it first?
Oh, U.S.
North Korea.
U.S.
You sure? Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah, U.S.
Oh, because I kind of think North Korea would kind of do something like that and be like, "I want to show you guys I can do this," and then they just send them down to South Korea.
Dave speaks some truth because you know we had a. I don't know if you've heard, but there was this whole nuclear thing, and we're kind of like,
"There's that."
And we were kind of the only ones to pull the trigger on that one.
Yeah.
Even though we're like the staunchest adversary now.
Yeah. And we tend to, you know, try new things. We seem to be on the forefront.
Right. Like, oh, autonomous killer robots. That, yeah, maybe.
That could totally be a thing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm kind of, yeah, all right.
So that's my answer. I'm going to say the U.S. You're going to say North Korea, Anessa?
I'm going to say North Korea.
All right.
Because they're always trying to prove themselves by doing various drills. And so I could see this as one way trying to be like, hey, look at us. And their fully autonomous robot isn't really fully autonomous. So.
It's Kim.
Trying to pull shenanigans.
It's Kim Jong-il. Is it Kim Jong-il or what's...
Kim Jong-un.
Un.
Jong-un.
Yeah, it's just...
Because Il was the guy that... Okay. His dad that died.
Un. Un. It's just Un with like a remote control. So they're not totally autonomous.
Damn it! The batteries are dead. Yeah. And the robot's like, I'm just going to keep walking into the ocean.
And he's going to call Dennis Rodman.
Short.
He's going to show up and...
I'm so lonely. So...
You're going to get... We're going to get mad feedback now because you're doing that, Anessa. Shame on you.
South Park. Thank you.
I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like South Park the movie. Thank you. Sorry.
What's your answer there, Matt?
Yeah, that's... I was Matt. I'm sorry.
Okay. Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's your answer?
My answer... Albania.
Aren't they always the ones in these action films that have the terrorists, Albanian terrorists?
Kind of. That's kind of my... And for those who know where I'm going with this, God bless you. No, have you seen the Wag the Dog?
Yes.
I've not.
It's been a long time, but I have seen it.
So we manufacture this war with Albania, of all people, just to have a war. Like, no, there's no actual war. Everyone just thinks there's a war.
Yeah.
And they just kind of make up the fact that Albania, and it's like, and they pick Albania just because they're like, well, no, who do you know that's from Albania? Nobody knows anybody that's from Albania. They seem shifty. They seem standoffish.
Nice.
I like that. All right, so we'll see who's correct. We'll see who's right when it happens.
I know, right?
I think I'm going to win.
Yeah, you probably. I actually am Dave. It's probably right.
What about, what if we had fully autonomous killer robot clowns?
Dude, way to take it up a notch.
I'm serious.
I think they would be more successful than, like, regular fully autonomous killer robots. Because a lot of people have a phobia of clowns, which would basically, like, scare them. Some of them might freeze and panic, and the robot's like, easy target. Whack.
See?
That's while doing its evil maniacal laugh.
See, you keep, put that evil behind a funny face, and you're in business.
You know, those
think of all of the emotional damage that they would do, like, Yeah.
You know those stills that they do in front of, like, in movies and movie theaters? Like, they just show you random bits of information. Mm-hmm. There was one time where I was watching a theater. I was about to ready to watch a movie with some friends and my brother. And one of the things said, clap if you, clowns scare you. And my brother, he stood up and just started applauding.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was he the only one?
Yes, he was, which made it even better.
Whoops.
That's what it made me think of.
That's funny. Is your brother easily embarrassed, or was he just being...
No, he's not easily embarrassed at all.
Okay.
He was just being silly.
Okay. Nice.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to us either on Stitcher or iTunes or anywhere else you can find us. Just go to galacticnetcasts.com and you'll find all the links there, or just Google us. We're on the Google. Don't forget to also send us feedback, 805-328-3966, or email GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. All right. As we always do, let's wrap it up with final thoughts. Anessa, you go first.
I know why I was thinking John Mellencamp, because he does the ROCK in the USA song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And yep. I was thinking, like, patriotic songs, and I'm like, John Mellencamp. I'm like, wait, no, that's not right. He does the other patriotic.
Yeah.
Song.
Then you throw in then you throw on Lee Greenwood.
Yeah.
You got the trifecta.
But luckily
right there.
My mind just, like, defaulted and didn't add, like, the whole list of artists.
We would have been here all night then.
We would have.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. Paul's story kind of reminded me of when I went to go see Ender's Game. And there's a scene where Ender and Graf are sitting outside the house talking, and there's a bunch of, like, background noise. Like, I guess they're supposed to be crickets and other bugs or something. And it's really loud. And, like, this guy behind me, like, bends over. Like, he's a few seats to my right, but he's in the next row back. He, like, bends over. He's like, turn off your cell phone. Just really random and loud. And I was like, I think that's part of the movie.
Wow.
But not even like, turn off your cell phone. He's like, turn off your cell phone. I'm like, that's the movie, dude. And sure enough, as soon as the scene was over, it was like gone. No more of the weird sound.
I bet you he felt stupid.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny that Paul made me think of that.
All right. Anyway. Noisy crickets in Ender's Game. Good to know.
All right. You've seen that, haven't you?
I have not. No. It's two movies that I said I wanted to go see, but I haven't. That and Thor. I have not seen either.
I haven't seen Thor either. I gotta
see it. It's good. I like it.
Anessa saw it twice.
Oh.
Mainly because the first time there's a lot of distractions in the theater, so I had to go to, like, a regular theater to see it.
Yeah, you went to one of those.
The first theater that I went to was one where they serve food and drinks.
Yeah.
And so you had servers, and it was in the big theater, and it was busy. It was like opening weekend, and so you had servers going back and forth, and James was like constantly ordering drinks, and then my friend April switched seats, and so we were passing food down, and Odin does a lot of talking at the beginning, and I missed like all of that. And when I went back and rewatched it, I noticed I missed a lot of little things. So I'm glad I rewatched it. So.
Awesome. All right. Paul.
Totally worth watching twice.
Okay. Or for Paul, once. All right. Or for Paul, once. What's your final thought?
Be excellent to each other.
All right. That's so original.
Haven't heard that one before.
Should I?
Sorry, I can't resist.
Should I change it up?
No. Keep it the way it is.
Because then Dave will get mad.
I can change it up. I'm okay with that. You just may not like where this is going.
You change it up, and every week it's just like a dish on me, like pointing out one of my faults, and you're not considerate.
And you make me
got
change
more
my final
gray
thought.
Hair.
Yeah, yeah. Your nose is big. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you guys later.
Bye. Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.